Welcome back, everyone, to Movie Geek and Proud, the show where there are no guilty pleasures in film. Fuck the haters and be proud of your taste. I'm your host, Rob, with another Rob's Rewind. This is where I rewatch a film in my collection and see if it holds up. To stay on the shelf, it has to score a 4 or above out of 5, or get tossed and traded for a store credit, figuratively anyway. Let's start the show. Happy anniversary to today's film. Road to El Dorado turns 21 on the 31st of March. This is the third animated film in attempting to give Pixar a run for their money. That's probably not true. But I remember watching this back in the day in 2000 and thinking, this is very different than what I'm used to seeing, especially from Disney and also Pixar. Following the success of Ants and Prince of Egypt under the same production company, DreamWorks, this was their first animated flop. You don't hear many people speak about this title, unfortunately, which works also in their favor, because I don't think I've really heard anyone say that they didn't like this movie. You can find a few fans here and there, and when I'm using Twitter, I do see images of this movie in the form of GIFs all the time. So I know it's not totally forgotten. I wanted to use their special day to say my piece, and why this movie, flopped or not, was important to me, and why I think it deserves a little bit more credit than it gets. Here's a trailer showcasing the adventure of Miguel and Tulio on the road to El Dorado.
The legend of a lost city of gold, and the two men brave enough to find it.
DreamWorks Home Entertainment presents The Toughest.
Yo, your horse bit me in the butt!
The Brightest.
How's the escape plan coming?
And the bravest adventurers the world has ever seen.
Gel and Tulio, mighty and powerful gods.
Hello.
Now you can join them.
We don't have a map.
We don't have a plan.
On their fun-filled adventure.
Who's the guy?
You the guy.
No,
you the guy.
To a place few have ever seen before.
El Dorado.
This is your chance.
We'll follow that trail.
What trail?
To take an incredible journey. It's the film Joel Siegel calls Solid Gold, and Roger Ebert gives it thumbs up. Coming to video and DVD from DreamWorks Home Entertainment.
Here's the plan. We find the city of gold, we take the gold, and then we row back to Spain like there's no mañana.
Everybody jump!
The road to El Dorado.
And that's your plan, is it?
That's pretty much it.
Well, I like it.
Two swindlers get their hands on a map to the fabled city of gold, El Dorado. Upon their arrival, they are met by the natives, who mistakes them for gods. Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, the writers, devised a story treatment inspired by the Bob Hope and Bing Crosby Road 2 films. They are sort of anti-heroes in a way which I thought made this film interesting. With that being said, who knows how many films and adventures we could have gotten from Miguel and Tulio had this movie been successful. The film is the lowest gained at the box office among DreamWorks animated films, $76 million behind Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas, the one with Brad Pitt and Catherine Zeta-Jones, which made $81 million. The rest all ended up in the 100 million plus bracket. Unfortunately, this was also the only one that it did not earn its budget back. I gotta say that rewatching this film, I still enjoyed it and it kept my attention. A big part of my curiosity came from because I didn't have too much memory of the film rewatching it, And with a more older and wiser mindset, I was able to really see this film for what it is. This is what kept my attention: the voice talent and chemistry of Kevin Kline and Kenneth Branagh. I will get to them a little later, but their back and forth banter rallying off of each other was great to watch, and seeing that animated was also a treat, as they can literally read each other's minds. Miguel and Tulio are always on the move and up to something, whether it's clever conning or distraction or just being super hyper and funny. It all worked for me. They never slowed down. The music done by Elton John, who was also the low-key narrator of the film with his songs doing a bit of the storytelling, and Critics' Choice Award winner Hans Zimmer for his musical score of the film as well. For engagement, I give this a full point for sure. On to the voice talents, the friendship between Miguel and Tulio is the heart of the film. Miguel being the dreamer and adventurer who wants to see the world, voiced by Kenneth Branagh, and Tulio, voiced by Kevin Kline, the overthinker, the planner. He wants to own the world as he is all about the gold and the money and the reward. Their duality in different works, and as I said earlier, their chemistry with each other is so good and what keeps the story entertaining. Kline and Branagh recorded their voices in the same studio at the same time, which I think was a very wise move. I don't think this type of chemistry that was executed would have worked if they had recorded their lines separately from each other. This method also allowed them to ad-lib lines, which most were actually kept in the movie, so kudos to that. In addition, we have Rosie Perez, whose voice you can definitely recognize from a lineup blindfolded, playing our full-bodied and smart Chell. Armand DeSante as our villainous Tezcal Khan, delivering that cultish and hunger for human sacrifice and obsessed with power. And Edward James Olmos giving us that humble, kind-hearted, and wise stand-and-deliver voice as the lovable chief of El Dorado. An honorable mention here that I actually didn't know until I rewatched this film was that Tobin Jigsaw Bell was a sailor on the voyage to El Dorado who was the original owner of the map before it was taken from him in a game of dice won by Miguel and Tulio. I think that the casting on the voices for these characters are great. I believe they all delivered in the parts that they were asked to play in this film. This is a full point as well. Now on to the writing. This film stands out from the bunch, and that's because of its more adult theme and tone. More than a few innuendos to sex, a little bit of bloodshed, and even the backside male nudity are just some of the things that stood out. The movie was supposed to be more serious than it actually turned out to be. A dramatic PG-13 film with a heavy romance, but then was changed for a more light-hearted, kid-friendly PG film. One part of the duo was actually supposed to die and come back from the dead, which furthered the belief that they were gods. Other than that, I think that it's wonderful to have a buddy comedy where the central focus wasn't the coupling of two people falling in love. It was about friendship. Friendship is a very important element in this film. That ride or die and someone who definitely has your back. Also, the adventure and being that dreamer of exploration and seeing the world was also very important in this movie. The film still had its share of adult humor that I think works without being completely inappropriate to kids, but also steps far away from a traditional kids movie. This film had a lot of adventure, and the visuals were gorgeous, full of light and wonder. Some may find the humor a bit flat, as not every joke landed, and as far as some of the character development, we did see our duo grow into a more giving nature than a taker, but they weren't really too far from that to begin with. From what was shown, they only stole from the witch, who were viewed as bad people or villains of the film. Thieves across most genres usually are considered folks who you hate to love and sometimes root for. Think of the horror film The Collector, even the character Robin Hood, and who can forget Catwoman from the DC verse. Miguel and Tulio were two people who looked out for themselves, but they never stepped on anyone good to get there. They may seem very greedy throughout the film, trying to steal the gold from this village, but when it came to choosing between helping this lost city versus taking the money and run, there was absolutely no doubt that they would choose to help. So the story could have used more of a transition of the characters and maybe a little bit more of the backstory of how these two thieves met. If they were despicable, horrible people from the beginning and just watching them transition into the saviors of this city, it would have been for a great story. The danger factor was a little tamed, and this is more of a con movie than a defeat, stop and kill the villain. So the stakes weren't really that great. I do, however, love how Chell, one of the native girls who joins Miguel and Tulio in the con, was written and also drawn in the film. They actually gave her a body, a step to a more realistic human figure. She may have used her feminine wiles in getting what she wanted, but they showcased her wit and smarts rather than treating her like a damsel that needs saving. I'm giving the writing a half a point. So when it comes to recommendation, I'm only giving this a half a point as well, because while I still believe that this movie did take risks back in 2000, and having a film like this that exists in the world breaking most animated traditions, this film still may not have a strong enough story to warrant a heavy recommendation. The half that I do recommend are to the adults. I think that this movie serves them better than it would with kids. Visually, the city of El Dorado is stunning. It's a golden paradise, and when playing the Mesoamerican ball game, which is a sport with ritual associations played since at least 1650 BCE by the pre-Columbian people of ancient Mesoamerica, was a fun treat that kept things fun and a break from the main story. Just another obstacle the duo had to succeed in to keep up their facade that they were actually gods. Other than that, there really isn't too much marketing for kids in this film. Having the two lead characters be men, though, had the potential to break into the young boys' fan base, but as far as toys and merch, that didn't really go too far. I think they had a campaign with Burger King, if I remember correctly, but that was pretty much it. What I always suggest is that if you have any curiosity, check out the film for yourself. This film could still be streaming on Hulu and Peacock Premium, so check out those if you would like to watch this movie. Now, the rewatchability. I still had a really good time watching this film again. Challenging traditions and customs and religion is still interesting to watch on screen. It's a reminder for me that not everything is so black and white. Old customs can never work forever. And as the world and people change, so should the customs evolve and grow with it. The chief, knowing the truth about Miguel and Tulio, still found their presence to be good for the city, as it gave them hope and confidence that their lives are worthy, and also that the villagers shouldn't live in fear with the mindset that order is done by dictatorship rather than democracy. I don't believe that this film is a must-have for your collection, but I don't regret purchasing the film. But it's a half a point score for me, which brings its total to 3.5 out of 5, which means that it doesn't stay on the shelf and must get tossed. The film is good though, but not great, and that's okay. I still believe that this film deserves a bit more credit than it has earned. And before I close this episode, now it's time for another quarantine quickie.
Wear a mask.
Another film that I managed to watch being quarantined at home, this quick review is on the 2020 animated origin of the Scooby Gang titled Scoob, starring Will Forte, Gina Rodriguez, Zac Efron, Amanda Seyfried, and of course, the voice of Scoob, Frank Welker, who also voiced the friendly horse companion Altivo in The Road to El Dorado. This film didn't deliver on what I wanted at all. The animation is okay, and the idea of another origin story is still interesting and good, but there really was no reason for this film, and as it didn't provide anything new to the franchise or its characters. The voice talents chosen for this movie didn't really make sense either. It made this film more of a cash grab as they picked familiar voices to take the helm, giving fans something that didn't really need fixing. Hashtag justice for Matthew Lillard. I didn't like the story very much. It wasn't that funny. And I thought the story was a little weak. I did enjoy a bit of the beginning of the film, but once Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt showed up, I kind of checked out. A more simpler contained story would have been better for me. And the film is basically the Indiana Jones and Crystal Skull of the franchise in more ways than one, if you think about it. But the appearance of Dick Dastardly and Muttley was such a treat. And I'm still waiting for my Wacky Racers movie, people. Do you hear me out there? I want a Wacky Racers movie. I'm giving this film a score of 2.5 out of 5. You can find these two movie scores and other quick reviews on Letterboxd under Rob's Rewind. And I really hope that you enjoyed this Rob's Rewind. Let's close this episode out with one of my favorite songs till this day. Elton John's Friends Never Say Goodbye, featuring the Backstreet Boys. Remember, there are no such thing as guilty pleasure films. Fuck those haters and be proud of your taste in movies. This is Movie Geek and Proud.
And through it all, there'll always be tomorrow's episode. Suddenly, that isn't true.
Road to El Dorado, a PG film at an hour and 29 minutes. It is an animation adventure comedy released March 31st of 2000. Directors are Bibo Bergeron and Don Paul. Writers Terry Rossio and Ted Elliott. Budgeted at $95 million, opening weekend was $12 million plus. Gross USA was $50 million, almost $51 million. Worldwide gross was $76 million plus. IMDb score is currently at 6.9 out of 10, with Rotten Tomatoes at 48% critics and 66% audiences. That friends never say. Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, the writers.